Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to our 61st episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd. Here with me today as my co-host is...
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. And I just want to welcome everyone back to the podcast. We're doing something a little bit different today. We're doing a Skype podcast, so the audio may sound a tad bit different than you're used to, but we'll get into a little reasons why we're doing it that way in just a few minutes.
And we would like to thank our sponsor for this month, which is Miami Device. Miami Device is a major conference happening November 6th and 7th in sunny Florida. We would love for you to attend. I know I'll be there speaking with some other great people. And so you can check them out at miamidevice.org and go see how you can attend yourself.
And then as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet out using EduAllStars hashtag. And we love seeing the conversations and hearing things. We should also mention about Kagan, Todd. So Kagan has taken kind of like a leave of absence or a sabbatical from EduAllStars. He's starting college this fall, and it just felt like it may be a bit overwhelming right up front. So he may be back with us later on or a guest host here and there. But as of right now, it's just Todd and I going forward.
Yep. And I am thrilled to have this week's guest on here, somebody that I think is going to be a really awesome voice. Today we have Eston Talavera, who is a national speaker on blindness and assistive tech, and he is also the co-founder of Insight. So thanks, Eston, for coming on with us today.
Thanks a lot, and I'm very glad to be here.
Well, I guess, Eston, you know, the best way we usually start with our guests is telling us a little bit about yourself and then kind of how you lost your sight. Since I think that is a very powerful story.
Sure. I am currently a senior at Wichita State University in my last semester here in Wichita, Kansas, and I am totally blind. I have been totally blind since 7 months of age. Totally blind means that I have no light perception. That means I see nothing. And how that ended up happening was when I was 7 months old, a babysitter shook me because I wouldn't wake up. And when you shake a seven-month-old baby, it can have some consequences. The hospital was able to fix most of everything, but they told my parents that I'd be totally blind for the rest of my life. However, I have chosen to not allow that disability or that challenge to limit my abilities and limit what I can do. Right now, I'm a founder of my company, Insight, and I want to teach other kids who are blind or low vision about how to use adaptive technology and how to succeed in their careers.
So kind of growing up as a kid, you always hear that when someone loses part of their sense, that, and especially at such a young age that, I mean, obviously you're not going to be able to remember seeing. What were some challenges growing up without eyesight, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Sure. Some challenges would definitely be when I was a kid, you know, being able to read print, I wasn't able to always do the assignment exactly when the other kids were able to, because I had to have a transcriber braille it for me and type it for me, and then I was able to get it in braille. What some of the other challenges was is meeting people, because you don't really think about it, but when you meet people, mm-hmm. you go up to them because you see them and you want to talk to them. Well, if I don't see them, how do I know that they're there? And my biggest issue, even still today, is if I don't see you, I don't know you're there. Therefore, I can't introduce myself to you. So I have to rely on other people to introduce themselves to me.
Going through just your primary school and in high school and everything, were you in a just a general, you know, public school, or did you have were you in a a specialized school for
sure.
vision impaired?
So most of the time I was in a general classroom. I had some special education classes, but most of the time I was in the general education classroom. I did attend the state school for the blind in Kansas for summer schools and extended school years. So I went there for independent skills, learning how to do certain things that they wanted to make sure that I was able to do. And it was important for them to be able to teach me those skills so that I could be successful.
So when you were in class in public school, did you actually have someone there with you that was kind of your, I guess, your guide or your mentor, you know, while you were in class? Or is it just kind of you made it on your own? You were able to do that?
It depended on the class. Math was tough for me. So I had a para, and that's what they are as paras generally. And I had a para in math a lot for various reasons that you guys can probably imagine.
Sure.
It's quite interesting because most of the time chemistry relies on what you see to make observations for the lab reports. So I ended up doing a lot of group labs and group experiments.
So I know that you, I mean, you talked a minute ago about meeting people, and I know one of the things when you and I were talking when we met at Podstock was that you said that sometimes y'all do a blind high five or things like that, right?
Yeah. So what happens is we will try and do a high five, but because both the people involved are totally blind or visually impaired, we'll miss each other on purpose, and so it's called the blind high five.
I love that. I thought that was great. So, Esten, you recently co-founded an organization called Insight. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. I am the founder and creator of Insight, insight.org, and it's E-N-S-I-G-H-T. And I founded this company because I saw a need for kids who have visual impairments and other disabilities to be able to grow their technology skills. A lot of places don't have a lot of people that can teach specifically technology skills to their students, and I have been blessed to be able to figure out most technologies and be able to work with students and kids and be able to go through and say, okay, this is how you work this program. Here's how it will be effective for them in school. And the other part of Insight is I want to be a national speaker. I want to speak to conferences and speak to various events in and around blindness and visual impairment. But it's not only that, but it's huge community awareness. If you don't know a person who's blind, you probably won't interact with them when you see them around. If you know, and that's okay. One of my main goals is to be able to educate people, to be able to show them that we are, you know, we're no different than you or anyone else. All we want to do is be able to succeed.
So that kind of brings me to I've never actually had a vision impaired student in my class. I've only taught for 4 years now. And so I'm not real familiar with like some of the assistive technologies that you may use in the classroom. Can you kind of, I guess that's the first part of the question. The second part is like, are there companies, like major companies out there, Google, Apple, those kinds of companies that do assistive technology like really well for blind people, or are they do something that, or are they companies out there that really do it poorly, for example?
Sure. I'll answer your first question, your first part of the question first. When I was in school, and this is a weird because I graduated in 2010, so that wasn't too long ago, but I used a Braille note, which is a note taker, and JAWS on a computer and Windows. Nowadays, most people use an iPad or another tablet, or they use a Mac computer or Windows with a screen reader called NVDA. The biggest difference between JAWS and NVDA is NVDA is free. NVDA you can download, anybody can download and use. JAWS is about $1,000, and then you have to pay about, I believe it's $150 to $200 upgrade fees every 2 years. So it can be quite expensive to keep your software up to date. NVDA, the updates are free. This program is free. And so a lot has kind of changed there. With that, Apple has a screen reader built into their platform called VoiceOver. It's built into both the Mac and iOS. And it's built in so that people with visual impairments can use iPhones, iPads, and the Macs. You know, we do pay a bit of a higher price for Macs, but part of the reason is some of that is for some of the accessibility that Apple has.
Sure.
And so that's one of the reasons, and it's huge. Apple was approached by a blindness organization and told that if you don't make your software accessible to the blind, we will basically sue you. And Steve Jobs went way above what he had to have done to take care of it. And now the new CEO has a even better philosophy with accessibility, and it's being integrated even more into their platform. So we're seeing great strides in accessibility, and with students, even if you don't have a student who's visually impaired, some of this can be very helpful. If you have a student who has learning disabilities or has difficulties reading print, a screen reader could be very helpful to them, because then they don't have to read the print. They can listen to it talk to them and be able to do it that way.
Now, Esten, I know when you had presented at Podstock, you talked about sometimes the extreme cost that comes with some of the tools, and you talked about how having some of those items, when they break, I mean, it's a huge fortune that families have to pay.
Yes.
What are some of those things?
Some of those things, well, I already mentioned JAWS. There is a product that I really like called the IDMate Quest. It's a great product. It allows you to read barcodes, and it'll tell you what the product is with the barcode. But it's about $1,200. And if it breaks, depending on if you're in the warranty or not, you may have to pay a little bit for that. The note takers, like what I was talking about, the Braille note, are about between $5,000 and $6,000. And that is mostly because of the Braille display that all of them have. And, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 is, you know, mm-hmm. a cheap used car.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's expensive. And if they break, you know, you have to pay for labor, and you have to pay for whatever they have to fix. And that adds up really quickly.
I mean, because it's one thing to think about a child who's has different disabilities, but I think that's why I wanted to ask, is sometimes we forget about the extra costs that also attach to that. When you, like, I wouldn't have thought of those kind of products, and just by thinking of somebody with visual impairment and how the different products that they'll need and how much of a cost that can be. But I also know you found some really cool stuff. You were telling me about something where you could take a picture of it and then it would tell you what it was, right?
Yeah, on my phone, I have an application called TapTapC. And basically what this application allows me to do is, for a subscription cost of about $9 every 3 months or so, I can take a picture of something and it will describe it to me. So
that's incredible.
Basically, I'll take a picture of my computer, and it'll say MacBook Air on desk. Or I can take a picture of my shirt and it'll say man with bright green shirt on.
That's incredible.
There's a lot of different things it can do, and depending on how it works, it will depend on your results. Because sometimes what happens is someone who can see is looking at those pictures, and they have to type in a description of what they're seeing. And once they type the description in, then that description gets pushed to your phone.
And wasn't there also a money app, or is that also the money app?
You can use it to identify money, but there's a standalone application that will identify money as well called Money Reader.
Because that's something I would have never thought of. I mean, just thinking that when you pull money out, you don't always know what's in your hands.
No. So basically what happens is you pull a dollar bill out, or a 20 or a 5, and because there's no difference in our paper money, you can't tell what they are if you're totally blind or if you have very, very low vision. So what happens is the phone takes a picture of the money, and once it does that, all you have to do is wait, and it'll tell you what it is. It'll say 5 or 10. So it's really easy. It's not complicated at all to do.
Now, one of the things that we had to do is that we are doing this interview this week via Skype. Can you explain to our viewers why we're using Skype instead of Google Hangouts?
Sure. Skype, while being somewhat bad on audio quality sometimes, is significantly more accessible on the computer than Google Hangouts is. I could not use Google Hangouts on a Mac computer right at this moment, so I wouldn't have been able to participate in this interview had we had to use Google Hangouts, because it doesn't work with a screen reader on the Mac. And I'm not blaming Google, I'm not blaming Apple, it's just how kind of it is right now.
Right.
And hopefully it's getting fixed. I do know that there are people that are working with the teams at Google and the teams at Apple to try and make this application work. I've seen slight improvements in the application in the last month and a half, but is it something that I would want to use on a daily basis or use to do an interview with? Not yet, no.
Right.
So Todd had kind of mentioned that you sometimes use a seeing eye dog or a cane. Do you have a preference over one or the other? Do you kind of just use them interchangeably? How does that work?
Sure. Let me explain a little bit about Chester. He's my seeing eye dog. He's from the Seeing Eye in Morristown, New Jersey. And I went to train with him for 27 days.
Wow.
And I had to fly to Morristown, New Jersey independently. And then they had a van driver there who picked me up. And basically what happened was I got Chester, who's a Labrador and Golden Retriever mix, and we've been working together for the last 5 years. As for your question of which do I prefer, I don't really prefer one over the other. You have to be a very, very good cane user to be able to have a dog, because it's a very different skill set to be able to use a dog. Because with a cane, you're going to hit everything in your path. With a dog, the dog is going to see everything in your path and go around it. So you're having to think about totally different things when you're working with a cane versus when you're working with a dog.
So, Essen, I know that you also have somebody that kind of helps you off and on a daily basis, correct?
I have a driver who helps me with various things as I need them. She'll drive for me or come do some visual aspects of different conferences and she will help me, like, with figuring out where rooms are and that kind of stuff, because it can be kind of chaotic, especially at conferences that are not specifically meant for people who are visually impaired.
And she's been with you a while, right?
Small and what?
She's been with you a while, right?
She has volunteered and worked with me. She used to be my boss, and she then retired, and she is now volunteered with me for about a year in September. So, yeah, it's been a while, and we work together really well. And so it's important for me. I can do a lot of things on my own, but there are some visual aspects that I do need some assistance with.
Now, y'all bike together too, correct? I think that's incredible that you go biking, and it's quite long distance too.
Yeah, I just came back from a 25-mile bike ride that I did called Heather's Ride, and it's an event that helps sponsor Heather's Camp, which is a camp for low vision and visually impaired youth and teenagers from 5 to 21. And Heather's Camp was July 31st to August 3rd, and Heather's Ride was today. And Heather's Ride is basically a fundraiser for Heather's Camp, and they get people to sponsor riders, and then they ride 25, 50, or 75 miles. They also have a 5-mile bike ride for families and that kind of thing, but their big stuff is for the 25 and 50 and 75 mile ride. Heather's Camp is an awesome opportunity. I have worked with Heather's Camp for probably the last 5 or 6 years. As a camper first, so I was an actual camper first, and then I moved up to being a counselor in training, and for the last 2 years or so, I've been a counselor, and it's been amazing. I've really enjoyed meeting and working with the kids and being able to work with them in you know, somewhat of a less structured environment.
So here we are, like you're knocking on graduation's door from college at Wichita State. You made it through college and primary education, but you know, with the limitations that you have, I suspect that you probably have a message for some of these kids who want to make excuses along the way. What would that be?
Basically, my message is think about what you have right now. Look at your life and decide whether you're going to take what you have and use it, or take what you have and basically, you know, throw it away, because it's your choice. You know, the teachers can teach you everything you need to know, but if you're not listening and you're not paying attention and you're not learning, then there's no real point, because if you want to learn it, you can do it. I had a student just this weekend who wanted to learn how to use iMovie. Well, he's totally blind. Okay? I had never used iMovie before, and so what we did was we downloaded the application, and he created an iMovie for an assignment that he has due Monday. So, you know, he is really into technology and really into the iPhone and iOS devices, and so he was able to create an iMovie. He did have a little bit of help with the videoing, which is probably a good thing. probably wouldn't want a picture of his foot or, you know, but pretty much he was able to do a lot of it from what I understood on his own. And that's huge.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I know that question was about advice for students, but I think it's also good on the other hand. What advice would you give to teachers when working with low vision or blind students?
Expect them to, you know, don't expect anything from them that you wouldn't expect from any of your other students. If you have your other students creating videos for projects, then talk to them and see if they have a way, or talk to their TVIs and see if they have a way of doing that. If they're doing certain things that you don't think that they should be doing, then talk to them and their parents and figure out ways of going around their visual impairment. A lot of times, I have assignments where it's like, well, okay, we have to think about what's the actual purpose of the assignment. Is the purpose of the assignment to get the assignment done, or is it to learn something? And sometimes teachers even have to figure out, okay, it was really just to learn something, and if you can prove to me that you learned how to do this, then we're good. And sometimes it's, no, he has to do it this way, and then you have to figure out a way of doing it that way.
And I loved what you said when I heard you speak. What were some of the words that you said that no teacher should use in their classroom?
Oh, yes. Being totally blind and in a classroom, I don't appreciate the word here, there, this, or that. here and there, well, it's over here. Oh, great. Well, where's over here? Right somewhere, but I can't see your hand, so this is going to take a while. There is even better. It's over there. Well, again, I assume you're pointing somewhere. And then this and that are self-explanatory. It's this way, or it's the one over there, or that one, you know. And teachers have told me that once they actually start trying to do that, it actually helps their other kids too, because they're having to explain more. They're having to say what they're doing. You know, I had a teacher one time in college who was a teacher who simply wrote on the board and said nothing during class. Now, that's not going to work. So I had to have a lot of conversations with him, and he's like, oh, you know, I think I'm going to do this more often in next semester's class. So, you know, it's just things that people don't think about, because they assume that you can see what's on the board.
Yep.
And they assume that you're going to be paying attention and writing notes.
Well, you know, I work with a lot of English language learners, and when you had said that, it took me a moment to go, wow, that applies in so many other instances besides just the visually impaired. And that's been a real goal of mine coming back, is to try to really use precise language that makes much more sense than just that generalistic language.
Yeah, and it can be hard at first.
Yeah.
I have people telling me, you know, I've talked to other people and they're like, okay, I can see it. You don't have to describe it that well.
Well, Esten, what is the biggest thing that you've learned in the last year?
The biggest thing? Oh, life is full of surprises. You never know what's going to happen. It's kind of been my biggest thing. I've moved into a new dorm room. I'm about to graduate here in December. And life is just, I figured out that if you take things easy and don't, stress over things, it's going to make your life a whole lot easier. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my biggest thing is I figured out that I can teach, but I can also, have some relationship with the students that I work with, have some fun when we're not supposed to be teaching. And it's a balance, yes, but it's a balance that if you can figure it out, you're going to have a much more, much better relationship with the students and the people that you work with. Because it's not just students that applies to anyone, if whether you're teaching them or doing whatever with them.
Yeah, that's a great answer. One of the things we always kind of like to end on is what's something you're super passionate about right now. And I guess I also want to ask what are plans for Esten in the future? What are some goals that you have after college?
Sure. So plans for after college, if I can get some business and be able to support myself, I'd like to move into an apartment in Wichita and be able to continue doing what I'm doing now. That kind of really depends on how much stuff is going on and what I've figured out through different contacts. And what was your first question?
Yeah, just something you're really like super passionate about right now. It could be like a technology. It could be just something, whatever, anything.
Something that I'm passionate about right now. I am very passionate right now about working with kids that are, when I worked at the other job, when I had a job with Envision, I mostly worked with adults. And so right now my big passion is trying to develop more relationships with teachers of the visually impaired and working with kids with visual impairment. So making sure that my biggest passion really would be making sure that kids that are visually impaired or blind can have a successful career in whatever they choose to do.
Yeah, that's great. Man, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. And how can listeners kind of connect with you if they want to get more information or just shoot you a tweet or whatever?
Sure. My Twitter name is at ESTINTALAVERA or at ENSIGHTESTIN. That my Insight Esten one is more for business related matters, and the Esten Talavera one is more personal, but sometimes they still do somewhat overflow. So either one is fine. My email is esten.talavera@insight-sight.org. That's my email. And you can find my company on insight.org, en-sight.org.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for spending some time with us this evening. If you guys want to connect with us, you can find us at EduAllStarsHQ on Twitter. We also tweet under the hashtag EduAllStars. Our website is EduAllStars.com. And then also you can find us on iTunes. Just search out EduAllStars with no spaces, and you'll find the 61 episodes that we've done previously.
And join us next Sunday, August 24th, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we interview Teachers Pay Teachers extraordinaire Greg Smedley, also known as Kindergarten Smorgasbord. It should be a great, interesting interview. And don't forget to check out miamidevice.org. Be sure to check out the speakers, sessions, and everything else that has been planned out for what's sure to be the EdTech event of the year. Esten, thank you so much for coming on with us again today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Esten.